Well, hello. It's good to see you. Good morning. It's going to be a good day today. We're going to celebrate and share some stories. But before we get to that, I have a question for you all. How are you? Good, good. No, really. I don't want to make it one of those corny moments, right, where somebody comes and goes, no, really, how are you? But seriously, how are you? Because I think sometimes we get going through life pretty fast and we don't take slow down every once in a while to just kind of take our pulse and take our temperature and see how we're doing. And so I want us to just start off with that, like spiritually, emotionally, physically, how are you doing these days? I'll kick things off, right? I'll just, how am I? Well, you know, let's see. I'm okay. Thanks for asking. And I'm doing all right. You might have heard a couple weeks ago I was a little bit under the weather, and there's apparently some respiratory illnesses going around that people are catching, so I might have gotten one of those. But I'm doing better. I would say I'm probably at about 95-98%. Still a little tired. I've got this nagging cough that kind of just won't quit. You might even hear it in the next 30 minutes. So if you do, I apologize. We'll keep our hand on the fader and make sure that I don't hurt your ears. But I do want to just take a second and say thanks to Greg for kind of jumping in there for me a couple of weeks ago on a weekend where he wasn't going to teach. He was, you know, taking a little bit of time, and he stepped in and taught. And I'm so grateful for this beautiful message he brought us out of the book of James. And then last week, my friend Jeff Henderson was here, and he was amazing and just profound. We haven't missed a beat in this conversation that we've been in about wisdom for a long time. And I'm so grateful. I'm grateful for the wisdom that we find in God's word. But can I also say I'm grateful for friends who are really, really gifted at helping us understand it and helping us open it up together. And so I'm just grateful that we've been in this conversation. And today, we're gonna jump right back in. We're gonna look at some wisdom that we see in scripture. But before we get there, I really do want us to just kind of take our pulse. If you go to the Gospel of Matthew, one of my favorite verses, Jesus in chapter 11 says, listen, whatever is going on with you, whether you're doing well or if you're tired, if you're weary, come to me as you are. You'll find rest with me. I want us to look at that verse. Actually, Eugene Peterson's version of this is just great. Jesus says, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you real rest. Walk with me and work with me. Watch how I do it. And then this line that I just love, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. See, this is the life that we're invited to live with Jesus, where we live these rhythms of life with him. And because of grace, it's unforced. We're able to just go through this with him. This is part of what we're going to be talking about today. But in order for us to get there, let's just talk about how we're doing. So here's what I want us to do. We're going to talk to each other a minute. And the whole time you're talking to each other, I'm going to talk over you because I have several questions. And I've tried to make this easy. On a scale of 1 to 10, I'm going to ask you some questions, okay? But here's kind of the rules of engagement. Look around you and include people, okay? Talk to your neighbor, but if you see somebody kind of sitting by themselves, invite them in. And if they look at you like, get away from me, then just leave them alone. It's fine, it's fine. We try to make this kind of top of the funnel. All you have to do is rate yourself on a number, okay? It's nice and easy, but we just want you to rate yourself on some of these questions now. So here we go, first one. How's your energy level these days? 10, you're like ready to go, you're ready to charge in. Number one, you're totally depleted. So just rate yourself, tell the people around you on a scale of 1 to 10, where are you these days? Go ahead. Okay. All right, you got it? All right, let's go to the next question. When you look at the future, are you optimistic about it? Are you a 10 or are you pessimistic? You're at a 1. And we've talked about this before, but if the person next to you right now tries to pull I'm a 5 because I'm a realist, you deduct 2 points automatically because we all know better, don't we? Okay? You rated yourself on this one? Good, let's go to the next question. How weighed down are you by the past? Could be like the last couple of years, could be the distant past, but you're carrying it with you these days. Totally free, I'm a 10, or I'm weighed down, 1. Go ahead, just tell the people around you. That's a tough one. Okay? All right, good, next question. So how's your spiritual health? 10, I feel like I'm in lockstep with Jesus. a one, God seems really distant. Now there's another possibility here. It could be one, I'm not even sure God exists. And if that's you, that's okay. Just be honest. It's totally okay. Just rate yourself on this scale. Go ahead. Tell the people around you, where are you on this? All right. Got one more. One more. Here we go. How busy do you feel these days? I mean, a 10 is I'm overly busy. I'm running out of time. One is I'm bored to death. Yeah? Some of you are like, Tim, it's a joke. Bored to death? Never. Never. I got tons of things going on. Okay. All right. Keep talking to each other. Here's what I want you to do now. Just sum up. Overall, when you look at all these things, how are you these days? Tell the person next to you. Go ahead, have a conversation, and we'll pick up here in just a minute. You might need to keep this conversation going later. Like if you're sitting next to someone who you're in relationship with, a family member or a friend or something like that, and they just kind of said, yeah, I'm tired or I'm struggling or whatever these days, then let's help each other with this, can we? Like later on today or later on this week, let's just say, hey, you mentioned that whatever. Hey, let's figure this out. Let's walk together. That's part of what we get to do together. But part of the reason I wanted us to start with that kind of extended conversation with each other is because it's fascinating to me how we come together on a weekend to have church, to worship and celebrate and open God's word and learn from each other, all of us. And we come from so many different places. You know what I mean? I mean, some of you are doing great. Some of you are struggling. We come with different life experiences. Maybe even experiences in the last week. We come from different backgrounds, different ages, different opinions on things, likes and dislikes, all of that stuff. Some of us, we've been reading the Bible for years. Some of us struggle to read it. Some of us honestly have never cracked it open because we don't think it's worth it, if we're honest. And we all come together. How do we all get on the same page is my question when we have conversations like this. I mean, really, when you think about it, with the questions we just asked each other, when I say we're gonna tell some stories and we're gonna celebrate today, which we're gonna do, and there's some of you who are going, man, I'm struggling. How does it sound in your ears for us to celebrate? Whenever we say we're gonna open up God's word and look at a really difficult passage of scripture about pain and suffering and about how God is with us in the midst of it, inevitably there are some of you that are going, life's great for me right now. What does this have to do with me? And yet, we come together and we try to get on the same page. I guess what I'm saying is it's just fascinating that we get to share in this common experience together of worship and learning and growing. And somehow, even though we come from so many different places, we allow God's Spirit to speak to us. And we get to encourage one another and celebrate with one another and grieve with one another and learn from each other. And we do all of this together. It can be a real challenge, but isn't it also beautiful? Isn't it a picture of the body of Christ and how we're called to do this together? I think it is, and I love that we get to do this. Now, it turns out that the Bible acknowledges this wide range of experiences and emotions that we live in this life. It actually talks about this, and we're gonna look at that today. In fact, we're gonna open up scripture, we're gonna look at wisdom literature in scripture and see what it has to say about all of this. But as we celebrate some things together and we tell some good stories, I think this conversation is gonna help us because as we do this, my question for you is, what kind of a season of life are you in? Because depending on where you are these days, it might change how you hear some of this good news. Now, that might not make total sense to you right now, but I promise it will before we're done. But before we go into this conversation, I think it would be good for us to ask the Holy Spirit to help us. Because the truth is, only He is powerful enough and big enough to meet each and every one of us in our individual experiences, meet us right where we are, and yet bring us all together into this common experience where we get to share in this life together. Only God can do that. So can we ask him to help us with that? Let's pray. Father, we are coming before you now to open up your word in hopes that we will find something there that speaks to us. We thank you that many of us are already confident that it will. We thank you that you're doing amazing things among us. And even as we celebrate those things, I'm just confessing to you now, God, that we're not all on the same page. And so would you meet each of us here as only you can? Would you speak to us through your word? Would you encourage us? I pray that you would show up now in our lives in a special way as we have this conversation together today. So be here now, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, so as we've been saying, we've been in this conversation for several weeks now where we've been looking at wisdom in Scripture, and specifically we've focused on this book of Proverbs because it's kind of maybe the most famous book of wisdom in the Bible. But you might have noticed that we haven't just stayed in Proverbs. A couple weeks ago, Greg taught us out of the book of James. It's this book of wisdom in the New Testament. Last week, Jeff referenced like Luke and 1 Peter, because the truth is that wisdom is all throughout Scripture. Turns out that all of the Bible contains practical guidance for how we can live this life that God has created us for, how we can live the life that we were wired to live in relationship with him. But if we're going to have a conversation about biblical wisdom, I don't think we can pass up another really important book of wisdom that we see in the Old Testament, and that's the book of Ecclesiastes. So that's where we're going to kind of camp out today. And I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Truth be told, it's one of my favorite books in the Old Testament because it is just honest about this life that we live. It just tells the truth. Sometimes it can be hard to hear. Sometimes it can be a little bit of a downer if you're familiar with Ecclesiastes, but I love reading this. And one of the things I like is it's almost like the perfect companion to the book of Proverbs. Let me explain. If you read the book of Proverbs, what you'll see is really practical, common sense wisdom for how to live life. It's just very helpful. It's like if you're wise, then things will go well with you. If you're foolish, then things will start to fall apart in this life. It's a little bit of like A plus B equals C logic. And this is really good. This is really helpful advice for life. It's good wisdom. There's principles that we can live by in this. But then when you go over to Ecclesiastes, what you start to see is that life doesn't always go as planned. Ecclesiastes says, yes, wisdom is good, but the truth is that we live in this fallen world and sometimes life simply doesn't make sense. It just doesn't add up. Sometimes A plus B does not equal C. Turns out sometimes even the wise suffer and even the foolish prosper. Now let me ask you, does that resonate with you? It's true, isn't it? I mean, this is a part of the, so Ecclesiastes, he just right out of the gate, the teacher says this in chapter 1, verse 18. He says, for with much wisdom comes much sorrow. The more knowledge, the more grief. Now, again, that's not much of a pick-me-upper, but it's true, isn't it? The more you understand life, the more you realize that sometimes life disappoints. The more you understand this life, the more you realize that grieving well is a huge part of it. And so Proverbs and Ecclesiastes are both full of truth that matters. And in fact, they overlap. There are times where Proverbs acknowledges how this works and how sometimes things don't go as planned. Ecclesiastes says wisdom is better than folly. But what I want you to hear is I don't think these two books contradict each other. They're just sharing two sides of the same coin. Yes, wisdom is good, but yes, there is brokenness. And when things don't go as planned, well, what do we do then? So here's what we're going to do. We're going to look today at a concept that we see in both of these books, a kind of theme, and that's simply the theme of sowing and reaping, like planting seeds and harvest. If you read the Bible for very long, you start to see that it uses these kinds of agricultural metaphors a lot. And one of the reasons for this is because in those days, a large part of the population was very aware of their dependence on harvest. They were hopeful that they would have grain each year that they could store away so they could survive the winter. All of this was an important part of it. Still is today. We're just disconnected from it. But so we read about this a lot in scripture. And so this is one of these themes. Talking about the harvest was really, really important. Now, I have a friend, or had a friend years ago, who got a job as a lead pastor in a small church in a little rural farming community. And when he got the job, he said, boy, one of the first lessons I learned right off the bat is, if I'm gonna make it as a pastor in this small farming town, then every weekend when we get together to worship, I had better pray for the weather. Either pray for rain or for no rain, depending on how much rain we've had, because these farmers are depending on it for their livelihood. So he said, as long as I do that each week, then I think I'll make it as a pastor. I think they'll accept me, but we have to pray for the weather, because the harvest matters. It's important. And so you see this in the language of the Old Testament. I'll just give you one example from the book of Proverbs, okay? In chapter 10, verse 5, the writer says, he who gathers crops in summer is a prudent son, but he who sleeps during harvest is a disgraceful son. Now again, this is just that common sense practical wisdom there, right? If you gather in the summer when it's harvest time, then that's a good thing. If you don't, you could disgrace your family. A plus, this is good wisdom. But now I wanna show you how Ecclesiastes puts this into a larger context. The writer of Ecclesiastes says, yeah, that sowing and reaping is a part of life, but guess what? There's this rhythm. Turns out there are these seasons of life, and some good, some bad, but sowing and reaping are a part of this. Again, this is why I love the book of Ecclesiastes. Truth be told, it is as relevant, and I would say prophetic, in the 21st century now than it has ever been. It just really is. When you start to look at what the writer of Ecclesiastes is doing, he's pushing against all of these things that we tend to look to for fulfillment. These things that we go after for satisfaction, for happiness in life. And over, he says, these things don't deliver. When you chase after things like wealth and fame and youth and even happiness itself, he says, what you'll find is this is a chasing after the wind. It's all meaningless. Now, does that not sound relevant to the things we chase after, the idols, the false gods that we worship today in the 21st century? And in this passage that we're gonna look at, the writer of Ecclesiastes is actually pushing against happiness itself. He's saying, listen, happiness is great, but if you think you're gonna live this life and this spiritual life, I would even say life with Jesus, if you think that it's just gonna be smooth sailing and you'll be happy the rest of your life, think again, that's not how life works. There are different seasons. There are ups and downs, highs and lows. There are joys and sorrow, life. And maybe we should just look at the passage and you guys will see what I mean here. So this is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. We're gonna start in verse 1. And let me just warn you, this is a very famous passage. Some of you know these words, so you can even hear the music kicking off in the back of your head, right? Da-da-dum, bum-bum, bum-bum-bum, to every, all right, here we go. We're gonna read this. Chapter 3, verse 1. There is a time for everything and a season for every activity under the heavens, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to uproot. Now there it is, there's sowing and reaping, planting, and some translations would say harvesting, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to tear down and a time to build, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to scatter stones and a time to gather them, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to search and a time to give up, a time to keep and a time to throw away, a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. Now we read this passage and it's this beautiful poetry. Some of you are thinking, wow, Tim, you just said a time a lot of times. It's repetitive, but do you see what he's doing here? Now, one of the things the writer of Ecclesiastes, he's trying to make this clear. He's not saying these are all good things. He's not saying that we should seek after both of these. He's just saying that they're absolutely things we will experience in this life. They're inevitable. This is the life we live. Again, part of what he's trying to say is that just because we're living the spiritual life with God, I would say a life with Jesus, doesn't mean that there won't be trouble, that there won't be sorrow, that there won't be really intense, hard, backbreaking work. at times. Because the truth is, we'll experience both of these in this life, the good and the bad. Now, this is good biblical wisdom, and we see it throughout Scripture. If you fast forward to the New Testament, in the Gospel of Matthew, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, God calls the sun to shine and the rain to fall on the righteous and the unrighteous, which is Jesus' way of saying, we're all in this together. We're all going to experience this wide range of things in our lives. Now, maybe you can start to see, again, why we started off the conversation by kind of assessing where each of us are at. Because here's my question for you today. These days, do you feel like you're in a season of sowing or a season of reaping? Because again, I'm about to share some stories with you that we're gonna celebrate about this For the Lou week that we just had a few weeks ago. We said we were gonna celebrate this together as a church, and we are. But depending on which season of life you're in, you might hear these stories differently. See, a few weeks ago, this church participated in this For the Lou Serve Week. Over 1,000 of you signed up for serving opportunities, and you stepped up, you showed up, you went into the community, and you were like Jesus in skin to the St. Louis region. It was such an amazing thing. And so we did want to take some time this weekend to tell some stories about that and celebrate that together. And I think this is going to be good for all of us. But here's the thing. If things are going well with you these days, if you're in a season, I would say a season of harvest, where life is good, where you're happy, where you're enjoying things, you're optimistic about the future, well, then when you hear these stories, honestly, it's gonna be easy for you to celebrate because there's a lot we're celebrating here. If you're doing well these days, then the truth is your response is simple. It goes back to the very first idea we shared at the beginning of today. Not when I got up here, but the beginning of today. You give thanks. You give thanks to God because he's good. And you thank him for his goodness and his grace and how he's moving in this world. See, when we're doing well and we get to celebrate stories together, then our response is one of gratitude. We get to worship. We get to say, God, you are at work in this world and we give you thanks for it. But what about those of us who are in a difficult season of life right now? It might be hard to celebrate. We might hear these stories different because there are seasons of sowing, and seasons of sowing can be hard. There's hard work involved. It can be painful. When we're working hard in those difficult seasons of life, we're uncertain about the future. If we'll eventually come out of it, right? If things will eventually pay off. And so what I wanna say is that if you're in one of those seasons right now, then these stories that we're about to share are actually exactly what you need to hear. Why? Well, because they're gonna offer us a different perspective. They offer us hope. See, in so many ways, these stories from our For the Lou Serve Week are just perfect examples of God's faithfulness, of how seasons of difficulty can eventually lead to harvest. Now, let me show you what I mean by this. Once again, as I said, over 1,000 of you participated in our For the Lou Serve Week. And some of you, you jumped in to multiple opportunities, like 2 or 3 serving things that you signed up for. So you guys were all over the place. And we were remembering how the first time we did this was in 2019. So 3 years ago, we had our first For the Lou Serve Week, and it was amazing. We had such a good time. It was so successful. We said, oh my gosh, let's make plans and let's do this again next year. And so we started to make plans, and then we hit 2020. And it didn't happen. And then last year, in 2021, we created these DIY serving opportunities to try to keep the momentum going. But the reality is we weren't quite meeting together completely, and our business, our ministry partners were still trying to get back up and running. They were struggling. And so it was great, but it wasn't the same. And so now, getting to this year, what's amazing is that this is like the work that we're doing this year is like 3 years in the making. But it's even more than that. I wish I could show you how these opportunities that you've participated in were actually even several years in the making. Because one of the things that our outreach teams and volunteers have been doing for years is cultivating relationships of trust with some of these ministry partners that we partner with. These great organizations, we've been cultivating relationships with them for like well over a decade. And what's amazing is there are specific stories this year where we're starting to see those relationships begin to bear fruit in really cool ways. One example of this is our relationship with Beerbaum Elementary School. Now, you've heard us talk about this school. We've shared some stories about it, but I wanted you to hear this from them. So watch this really quick.
So Beerbaum Elementary is probably one of the most unique schools here in the state of Missouri. We have families that come from over 30 different countries. We've got about 30 different languages that are spoken here.
Beerbaum, I think, was chosen originally simply because it was located close to the Grants Trail campus. And we're part of the same community. And so it just seemed like a natural flow of things for us to partner together.
I'm Dr. Paul Morris. I am the principal here at Beerbaum Elementary School. Bev has been fantastic to work with. She helped form this relationship, and she's been with us through thick and thin. So our relationship with The Crossing, I feel like it's one of those things that kind of just fell into my lap. I know they had reached out to us about getting the Reading Champions program started.
Reading Champions is a program designed for our volunteers to actually go into the school, spend time with students one-on-one with a curriculum that helps them help those struggling readers. There was a young man when we first started his and he was in kindergarten. He only could say his name in English. His volunteer worked with him every week. Eventually, he began to write his name, say other words. And then later, I think he is now in third or fourth grade. And now, even though we still come into the building and we do not work with him anymore, every time we come into the building, he runs up and hugs our necks.
And that's really kind of was the seeds for what took off, and it's just kind of become this amazing relationship with this great organization that's just right down the street from us. You know, outside of our students, I have really valued the relationships that I have formed with some of the adult volunteers. In fact, just this weekend, I was out with my wife and ran into one of the volunteers who was up here last week or 2 weeks ago helping to paint, and it speaks to the power that the relationships that we have within our community.
During our For the Lou Serve Week, our volunteers have the opportunity to step in and serve others. What seemed like just painting walls may be insignificant. I think the volunteers realized it was serving these teachers. It was serving the staff, the administrators, but mostly it was serving Jesus. The reason we do this is because not only are we following the example Jesus has given us, we just feel like this is what God has called us to do because, like 1 John 4 says, we love because God first loved us.
So one of the things that our outreach team has been telling us over and over again is that so many of these projects that we participated in this year were what they're calling more than projects. So like with this one, yes, we were painting walls at Beerbaum. Let me tell you why. They're going through a construction project right now, and so they're shifting some things around. Ultimately, the area that we were painting is going to become a counseling center in that school for the students. Now just imagine for a second, these students coming from 30 different countries, many of them don't speak English when they get to school, and they start to try to figure all of this out. Can you picture the essential, the life-changing, I would say holy conversations that could take place in a counseling center in a church like in a school like that? That's just amazing. So that's why it's more than just painting walls. We're investing in this school's future. But then there's that other story that I love that Bev mentioned about the kindergarten kid who, when he came, didn't speak English, and he got involved in our reading program. And did you hear her say he's heading into fourth grade this year? See, this is how lives change. This is how it happens. Seeds that were sown 4, 5 years ago are now beginning to yield fruit. Okay, 3 years ago in 2019, another one of our organizations we partner with had a team come to a lot that they had purchased. So Bridge Bread is this organization that works with the homeless population and helps employ them and give them some stream of income so that they can start to get their way out of homelessness. So Bridge Bread bought this lot, and our team went and cleared out a bunch of brush. It was really overgrown with weeds and wildflowers, stuff like that. So they cleared it out so that it could be a usable space, and you can kind of see the work they did. If you've ever cleared out a space like that, you know that's really, really hard work. So they got that done, cleared it out. That was in 2019. The community moved in and built a community garden. So now families get together there and they plant literal seeds in this garden, vegetables and things like that. And they're building community together as they have conversations and work alongside one another. At Bridge Bread, the employees now are starting to go out to this community garden during their breaks, like to get off their feet and to have relationship and talk and hang out and that kind of thing. So this year, Bridge Bread reached out and said, could you guys come and like put some pavers and some mulch in and create some spaces where we can have community? And we were like, are you kidding? Look at that. Isn't that amazing? It's in the middle of this community now, and people are building relationships, and neighbors are coming together and planting gardens and having community with one another. It's just this amazing thing. Now, one of the themes of our Serve Week this year is things that happen simply because you all have established trust over the years with our ministry partners. So when the flooding came into our region, one of the folks we partner with, Helping Hand-Me-Downs, another great organization, reached out to us. We had a team that was going there, and they were going to stock some shelves and do some organizing and some things like that. And Helping Hand-Me-Downs said, hey, can we shift? Because we got wind. There's this apartment complex in Hazelwood. Maybe y'all saw this in the news. 270 apartment units are ruined, and all of these people have been displaced. And so Helping Hand-Me-Downs said, could we take that team and could we go and like love on these people in this apartment complex instead? Are you kidding? So our team went, they set up some tents, and we were able to provide some essential supplies for these people. But my favorite thing is we got to listen to their stories and just hear what they're going through and what their needs are. So one woman, she was pregnant and was a week away from giving birth. She was due in a week, which means that by now that baby's here. But in those few weeks ago, she said to our team, hey, would you come see my apartment? And so they went. You know what they saw? Children's books and stuffed animals and blankets and cribs covered in mud, absolutely ruined. And so we started to talk to Helping Hand-Me-Downs, and they were like, oh, we're all over this. We're in this. So they were able to set up and get her back on her feet. That baby has been born, and she's now being taken care of. She has everything that she needs. And we're having conversations with how we can continue to replace all of these things that she lost in the flood. And that's how this works. Now, another great story, the St. Louis Area Food Bank, they reached out to us and said, hey, we're changing our plans. Hope that's okay. We were going to package meals for a specific thing, but now we're going to give these meals to the flooding victims in the region. And so other organizations came together and helped. But Crossing, listen, you guys showed up and were able to package over 6,000 meals for victims of the flooding in our community. Part of the reason that these organizations are comfortable enough to come to us and like make the big ask is because of how our teams of volunteers have cultivated relationships of trust over several years. And now that's starting to pay off. Let me tell you another one of my favorite examples of this. Wallbridge STEAM Academy is another school we partner with. They wanted to build a story walk. You guys know what a story walk is? So you take a picture book and you divide it up page by page and you put them in these signposts, and then you have to go for a walk and you get to see one page at a time, and that's how you get to read the story. But in order to do this, they needed to dig 18 post holes. Which again, if you've ever dug a post hole before, that's not light work. And the truth is, they said, we're a little short on volunteers to get this done. So guess what happened? Another organization that we love and partner with, R3 Development. This is an organization that's in East St. Louis. They work with teenagers on building projects. They reached out and said, well, we heard about this. Why don't we just send our team and let's help? Do you think God is stirring something up in this region when neighbors are helping neighbors and organizations are helping organizations? They're doing this together. It's just an amazing thing. So We'll run out of time if I try to tell you all of the stories of everything that you guys did this week, but you threw a party for those teenagers at R3 Development. You made a teacher's lounge beautiful at Bayless Elementary School. You did yard and garden work for next door neighbors. This wasn't an organization we did this with. You all just signed up and said, here's what I'm doing. I've got an aging neighbor. I've got someone who's shut in. We're gonna do some landscaping for them. And you did that. You moved boxes. You built picnic benches. You cleaned things up. You donated blood. You picked up trash at local parks. During our serve week, you guys played with kids all over this community. 87 hours were spent just hanging out with kids. You delivered over 1,500 pounds of mulch. 60 gallons of paint were thrown up on walls. Over 650 hygiene kits and care kits and art kits were put together for people in our community. And what about the backpack collection? We've kind of already shared this, but almost 2,000 backpacks you guys brought, they were loaded up with school supplies so that we could send kids off to this school year with everything that they need to excel. Almost 2,000. Here's what's just crazy about that. Our team did the numbers. A backpack this year costs $20 more than it did last year because of the economics that we're in right now. But that didn't stop you guys. In fact, we exceeded last year's numbers. You guys just showed up and said, we're doing this. We want kids to thrive. And so you brought school supplies in what is probably going to be a really significant, important, meaningful school year, isn't it? Can we talk about that for just a second? This is the first time in like 3 years where we are hoping, we are hopeful that kids and teachers and students will be able to go to school and experience a normal school year. And we're praying that that happens and they get to do this, but we need to pray for each other. So let me just do this really quickly and just please, if you're watching this at the sites here in this room, just indulge me for a minute, okay? If you are a student who is headed back to school this fall, maybe you've already started, maybe you're starting, I don't know, tomorrow, maybe in the next week, if you're a student, would you raise your hand? Be bold, be brave, raise your hand, and keep your hands up for just a second, okay? You're not gonna be alone, I promise. Okay, if you're a teacher who's going back to school this fall, will you raise your hand and keep it up? Come on, keep your hands up. Okay, if you're teachers, if you are an administrator, principals, faculty, all of that, would you raise your hands? If you're working in education in any way, you help the schools, teachers, assistants, all of that kind of stuff, raise your hands, keep them up. Keep them up, guys. If you're the spouse of a teacher or an administrator, that's a heavy load for you. Put your hands up. What if you're a parent of a student? Any parents in the room who are getting ready to send your kids back to school? Look around you, people. We need to be praying for each other this year. This is why three of our campuses threw a back-to-school bash last night. And it was amazing. People showed up. We got to pray for students. We got to pray for teachers, for schools, for all of that. It's why we still have prayer walls set up. And you can come tell us ways that we can pray for you this year. It's why last weekend, one of our sites, Grants Trail, y'all had this amazing back-to-school celebration. You know what they did? They offered haircuts to the students in the neighborhood that they could come to get ready for school. Now listen, you remember how important it is to look sharp on the first day of school? That's a big deal, right? So can I tell you how that went? For 4 hours, the lines kept filling up. People stood in line so that they could come and get their hair looking sharp, ready to go to kick off this school year. Guys, this is a big deal. Let's pray for each other as we head into this year. So if you just begin to look around you, what you'll start to see is that God's doing something. And these are stories where God is on the move. And in so many ways, we're beginning to see the harvest of seeds that were planted years ago. And sometimes we see it in these big moments like a For the Loose Serve Week. But the truth is it happens all the time around here in small, deeply personal ways. So I have one more story I want to show you, because sometimes what happens is people feel called by God to move into somebody else's difficult season. And when that happens, lives are changed. So I want you to see now this story of one family who partnered with another one of our favorite organizations, Oasis International. Just hear their story.
Hi, I'm Kyle Mawson.
I'm Kate Mawson, and we've been attending The Crossing for 9 years.
I had been serving at Oasis on Saturday mornings once a month. They're a Christian organization that assist war-torn refugees that come into the United States and specifically into St. Louis. They have a program, it's called the Good Neighbor Initiative. Their goal is to match up each refugee family with a Christian family, do life with them, be a spiritual influence in their life, and just do anything that any other friend would do for each other.
So a lot of the refugees are coming in, they're coming in from very horrible environments. That's why we wanted to get involved, just to let them know that there are friendly faces, that they do have friends here, that they are not alone.
So we were assigned a family from Nepal. Their children are right around the ages of our children, so it's just a natural fit.
We have a deep friendship with them now that I consider them like family.
Yeah, I think with anything, anytime you start something new, you're gonna have that fear of the unknown. We thought it was just gonna be more of a ministry, you know, us helping out them, being a support for them, being a spiritual presence in their life. But it's become so much more than that.
It's a special bond that we have with them now, and it's something that I know that we'll have for a lifetime.
If you talk to people at Oasis International, one of the things they'll tell you is that when refugees find themselves displaced from their home country and they're living here in St. Louis, that like only 10% of them will ever live here and find an American friend. And just think about that for a second. And so this neighborhood, Good Neighbor Initiative that they're doing is so significant, where we're getting a chance to say, hey, welcome to our city. We know you wouldn't choose to be here, but how can we build a home together? How can we make you feel welcome? How can we just be your friend? And I love how Kate described their relationship with this family from Nepal. They're in this for a lifetime. God is just at work in the midst of these relationships that honestly are formed through hardship. Seeds sown in times of difficulty yield fruit. We can be sure that God will bring a harvest. Now, how can I say that? How can I say that with such confidence that a harvest is coming? Well, honestly, it's because of Jesus. It really is. If you want me to get specific, it's because of the resurrection. We live with the hope of the resurrection. If you go to John chapter 12, you'll see Jesus talking about something. He's describing himself, and he says that he's like a seed that has to go into the ground and die so that new life can come. And this is where our hope comes from. We are resurrection people. Those of us who follow Jesus, we endure the difficult seasons of life because we know that a harvest is coming. We know that resurrection is coming. And so even in the difficulty, even in the hardship, we love our neighbors and we move out into the world and we love and we serve. And my prayer is that what we would celebrate from our Serve Week this year, after a couple of crazy years in the midst of expensive backpacks and high gas prices and all of that, is that you all showed up, church. You did it anyway, and you poured into this region, and you poured into relationships, and you brought resurrection hope into the world around you. And now, because of what you are doing, God's plan of restoration goes forward. And so for those of you who are struggling these days, for those of you who are in a season of sowing, who are in a difficult season of life, who are wondering where God is in the midst of it, my hope in telling you these stories is that you would see a God who is still at work, that you would see that the story is not over and there's a reason to celebrate even in the midst of your trouble, and that you would endure because the season of your life is not futile. You are sowing seeds that will pay off in the future. And God is inviting us to be a part of this work that he's doing in the world. So if we sum up the whole thing, it all comes down to Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. Paul says this, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." So church, let's not give up. Let's not grow weary. Let's keep serving and keep loving and keep championing people. And some of you are thinking, shoot, we missed it. We missed the Serve Week. We had plans. We weren't here. We didn't get it to be a part of this. It's not too late. Guess what? We're not just for the Lou 1 week out of the year. We're for the Lou all year long. And we've got opportunities for you to jump in with these organizations and serve. And it is so fun to do it. So join us. Get online and sign up and let's do this together. But let's not grow weary in doing good, because the wisdom of Scripture tells us that in this life, we will experience all the highs and all the lows that life can bring us. But in the midst of it, there is a good God who says, come to me. If you're tired, if you're worn out, if you're burdened, come to me. You'll find rest, but we will work together. And we will get stuff done in this world. And if we do, we will reap a harvest. The wisdom of Scripture tells us that we will experience trouble in this life, but that Jesus has overcome the world. And therefore, we take heart. Amen. Therefore, we have hope. Therefore, we worship. Therefore, we give thanks. Therefore, we feel free to share the love of Jesus with others. Therefore, we can take every season of life, joy and grief, mourning and dancing, sowing and reaping, and know that this is not the end of the story, but that God is inviting us into it and into new life and life with Jesus. And it's all just around the corner. And in the proper time, if we don't give up, we will reap a harvest. So the teacher in Ecclesiastes, he wraps up the whole conversation in chapter 12 by simply saying this. This is kind of the summary of it all. He says, now all has been heard. Here is the conclusion of the matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the duty of all mankind. Now at first glance, when you look at that verse, it doesn't sound that great. Until you understand what it means to keep God's commandments. You remember we talked about this a few weeks ago. Jesus summed up the whole thing saying, you want to follow God's commandments? Here it is. Love God with everything you've got and love your neighbor as yourself. See, what it means to live this life with God is that we love God. We receive the love that Jesus offers us. And because of the life that brings, we now get to offer that love of Jesus to our neighbors, to our friends, to our family, to the people in our communities. We get to love and serve and do this. It's ultimately about relationship. And God promises us that if we will do this and we will not grow weary and we will invite him in to do this with us, if we don't lose heart, then we will reap a harvest. So let's keep going, church. Let's keep loving this community. Let's keep championing one another. Let's keep caring for one another. Let's keep living as people with resurrection hope. And let's just see what God does. Can we do that? All right.